Fasten your seatbelts and turn up your radio. We're going on a road trip. Ghosts have fascinated researchers and the population for hundreds of years. But what are they and why do they exist? Or the question might be, do they exist at all? Welcome to Route 51. I'm Shereen Seewert. Strange lights floating between a house and a barn in the town of Stettin, a telephone ringing at the Marathon County Historical Library in a room in which there is no phone. The faces of children that appear in the windows of a former Wausau hospital, and a fluffy white dog that roams the corridors of a local bed and breakfast. So the question is, are these spirits who have returned from the afterlife, or who have, for one reason or the other, been unable to move from this world to the next? Joining me today is Sean Blaschka, director and founder of Wausau's Paranormal Research Society. Sean has been studying and investigating the paranormal for decades now and has co-authored the book Haunted Wausau, The Ghostly History of Big Bull Falls. Sean, welcome.
Well, thank you for having me.
You bet. Also joining our discussion today, Jeff Searing. He joined WPRS just over 2 years ago. He takes a scientific approach to the study of paranormal activity as well. Welcome, Jeff.
Thanks for having me.
So we'll take questions and calls from our listeners, too. We welcome your calls. We'd love to hear your stories. You can join the conversation by calling 800-780-9742. Sean, let's start with you and your background. Tell us how you first became interested in the paranormal.
I think I brought a interest on when I was very young. My father used to work at the old Channel 7 mansion or the Plummer House.
Sure.
And he had had experiences there at the mansion when he worked there from the mid-60s to when it was vacated. And he would tell me these stories and stuff when I was a child, and that just sparked my interest. So from that point on, I was really, really interested in anything paranormal or unusual, and eventually I started reading a lot of stuff and watching a lot of programs, and then I met a guy named Todd Roll, who had a group just started, and I joined that group. So from that point on, I've been involved in paranormal research.
And how long ago was that? That was quite a while ago.
Right around 2000.
Okay, so it's been almost 20 years that you've been involved in this kind of work.
Correct.
And I know you have a full-time job. This is something that you do on the side, right?
Right.
So tell us a little bit, too, Jeff, how you got involved in this.
When I was a young kid, growing up at my parents' house, I had a lot of really weird experiences going on. I'd hear footsteps in the middle of the night. It would sound like the TV's on and water was running. And it was kind of creepy. And my dad would always tell me, no, that's just the house making noises. And I knew it was something else. And I wanted to figure it out. I knew there had to have been answers for what was going on. I was kind of young at the time, and they didn't really have too much of equipment out. And, I wasn't working. So when I got a little bit older and had a job, the TV show Ghost Hunters came out, and I'd watch that. And I'm like, well, I'm going to start buying my own equipment. So about 11 years ago, I started buying my own equipment and kind of doing my own thing, going into people's houses, businesses, to try to give them answers of stuff that they could not explain what was going on. And then fortunately, I got an offer from the WPRS to join their group. So now I'm with them and I'm having a blast.
All right. You mentioned equipment. And I think before we get into some of the stories of the places around here in central Wisconsin, talk about the equipment. What do you use to do your investigations? It's a mystery to me.
Well, there's several different types of things we use. What we're looking for is different changes in the environment, and so that we can scientifically measure those changes, we apply certain equipment that is used in a practical sense in the real, as far as like by electricians and things like that. One of them is an EMF meter, and that actually measures changes in magnetic field. So that's one thing we're looking for, that change in a rise or a jump in a magnetic field that we can't explain.
Okay. What about like temperatures? Do temperatures have something to do with this as well?
Yes.
Okay.
Temperature as well. I mean, some people have reported both ways, a rise in temperature, but mostly a fall in temperature. And a theory there is that if a spirit possesses a particular space, it's going to pull energy out of that air to actually manifest itself in some way, and that could be, you know, physically or audibly. But by pulling that heat out of the air, it actually lowers the temperature.
Okay.
So that's kind of the thought there.
Okay. All right. So that's what cold spots are all about? I mean, we hear about cold spots. Is that's what you're talking about, really?
Correct. Yeah. Right. Yep.
Okay. So what are ghosts, though, really? I mean, that's a big question to me. What are they? Tell me what is your perception of what a ghost is, Jeff?
Well, that's a that's a really good question. It could be many different things. I believe in a ghost to be energy. It's energy that's left behind or stored. It could be a loved one that had an attachment to something, someone that had passed away, and it wasn't their time yet. Like tragic, passed away, car accident, something like that, and they're just left behind. They're still here, and they're trying to communicate with you. And it's energy. It's just energy that moves around, and it needs energy to communicate. So I believe it's energy.
Okay. Sean, does that coincide with your thoughts? So what would you define a ghost as being?
I'm pretty much along the same lines. I mean, I think the general theory out there is that it's energy, and that a spirit is made up of energy, and that it needs energy to communicate with you. Mm-hmm. So people talk about having experiences where they, like we said, cold spots, or they use equipment and batteries are instantly dead. Interference with electrical equipment or lighting or loss of camera power. That's, we think, spirits are pulling energy from those sources in order to try to communicate.
Mm-hmm. Well, apparently, a lot of Americans do believe in ghosts. Just looking at this Harris poll, 43% of Americans believe in ghosts. 29% say they have felt as if they've been in touch with someone who has died. 18% say they have been in the presence of a ghost. What about both of you? Obviously, you're believers. Have either of you felt as though you were in the presence of a ghost? Jeff?
Yes, definitely. I have, especially growing up as a young kid. Had a lot of really weird experiences. One time I was at my grandma's house, and I was sleeping on the floor. And actually, my aunt that had passed away when I was younger, I seen her and a little dog come walking up to me. And I wasn't really scared. Like, normally I'd be freaking out, and I'd be running all scared. It was kind of almost comforting. Mm-hmm. And then years later, actually just a few years ago, I was actually moving my grandma's stuff out of her house, and I found a picture in a hutch of that little dog. And I was like, oh, my gosh, Dad, this is that dog I was telling you I seen. So, yeah, I believe I have been around ghosts.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. What about you?
Several times. I think probably my first time, though, that I actually saw an apparition would have been at one of the local grocery stores here. And I know that sounds crazy. You can go shopping and find ghosts. But I was actually helping my brother-in-law fill some counters, and we went back to the stockroom area, and we were getting rid of cleaning up for the afternoon to leave. And while we were cleaning up, we looked up and noticed something appear out of thin air right in the hallway, maybe, I don't know, 40 feet from us.
Mm-hmm.
And all you could see, though, was just a head, neck, and shoulders. And there was no facial features, no skin tone. It was just white, like a snowy TV screen.
Wow.
And then it got brighter and brighter, and then eventually it just started fading away, and it was gone.
Were you scared?
No. I know that sounds ridiculous, but no, I was more fascinated by what I was seeing than I was scared. So I ran over there and, you know, mm-hmm. tried to find, you know, is it cold over here, or is there anything here, or what could have caused that? And this was before I was doing this, what I'm doing now.
Okay.
But I couldn't explain it.
It sounds like, okay, you were fascinated by it. You were fascinated by it too as well, Jeff, but you were also comforted by it.
Yeah.
You think of a lot of people feel that way when they encounter this kind of experience?
I'm not too sure. I think most people would kind of get creeped out about it, mm-hmm. get kind of scared because you don't know what it is, and it's kind of like, well, how did that happen? What am I seeing? Am I nuts? Am I crazy? That's creepy.
Right. And I suppose sometimes people are afraid to even say what they think they saw.
Well, because people are judgmental. They might judge you and think you're kind of weird. You know, oh, that guy says he sees stuff. That guy's not all right. But there's stuff out there.
Okay.
Well, and it's also a different turn to it, too. When you see something in your own house and you're living there every day and night you're there, that adds a factor of fear to it, I believe, you know, because it just changes it. It brings it up a notch. Whereas, you know, we go somewhere where we're not there all the time. So we find what we find and we leave. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, that makes it more personal when it's at your own home or your business.
Sure. Unless it's like something that happened to you, Jeff, where you saw somebody that you recognized and that, you know, that wasn't scary to you because it was somebody you recognized, right?
Yes.
So, I mean, how many times has that happened compared to maybe people who say, hey, I saw something in my house. I have no idea who it was or what it was. I mean, is it half and half? I mean, what's more common, do you think?
Well, that's only happened to me one time. All the other experiences that I have, and even to this day, I don't see anything. I just hear stuff. Stuff's getting moved around. I'm hearing footsteps. I'm not really actually seeing a figure. But there's just stuff going on that I can't explain. Mm-hmm. So I don't know.
I'd like to shift a little bit to some of the places that you have investigated. And there have been a lot of investigations over the years. I was looking at your website. What is it? WPRS.net.
Correct.
There's a list of places that you have investigated over time. One that will be familiar to most of our listeners, the Grand Theater. Can we talk a little bit about the Grand Theater?
Sure.
You've been there a couple of times for investigations. Tell us what happened there.
Well, for me, that was actually my first investigation.
Really?
That I went on with the group when I joined. And I had beginner's luck being there. So
okay.
It was four of us, and we were there for the evening. And I was investigating with one other person upstairs, way up in the where the offices are behind the upper balcony area. And as we went through those series of rooms along that area behind the balcony, we could hear noises. We were getting changes on EMF meter, like I spoke about with the magnetic field changing. And we had some temperature changes as well. And as we kept going down that way, we were also doing EVP, which is electronic voice phenomena. And then when I got home the next day and I reviewed my tape, I had a voice on it. And it sounded to me like someone kind of trying to say, don't come back over here.
That's interesting. That had to be – did it raise the hair on the back of your neck a little bit?
Well, it was surreal because, I mean, I very much remember sitting in my bedroom listening to this and hearing this. I'm like, no, it can't be.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just the first time – boom, there it is right in front of my face. It opened my eyes, that's for sure.
There's kind of a theory about what that presence might be at the Grand Theater, isn't there, based on some history there? What's the general thinking there about the Grand Theater?
Well, it's thought that the theater itself is haunted by several different things. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of history there, so there's been different sightings of different apparitions. It's not just one, but there is one they've seen more often, and it was a former stage manager there,
okay,
who passed away over 30 years ago now. But his apparition's been seen throughout the theater over the years.
Have you ever been to the theater for any of these?
I have not been to the theater, but I know some of the history there, mm-hmm. and it's kind of crazy. There was, four deaths on the property, I believe.
Yep.
A guy had passed away of a heart attack in the audience while watching a show. Mm-hmm. There was a guy electrocuted on the stage. There was also like a counterweight that fell and crushed a guy, killed him on the stage. Mm-hmm. And there has been reports of apparitions being seen on the stage and in the audience. So,
my son spent quite a bit of time there when he was young. He was in the Nutcracker every year, and he was there for like a week at a time while they were getting ready for it. And he's got some stories about some things that happened there too. So he experienced it as well. It's interesting when you look at the history behind all of it too. We do have to take a break. Sean Blaschka and Jeff Searing, our guests today on Route 51, we're going to continue our discussion on paranormal activity and talk about some of the most haunted places in our region. If you've experienced something you can't explain, we'd love to hear from you. 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Sean Blaschka and Jeff Searing of the Wausau Paranormal Research Society are our guests today as we continue our discussion on the most haunted places in our region and paranormal activity. Of course, it's Halloween week, so it's a perfect time to be talking about this. If you have a story to share or a question for our guests, we'd love to hear from you. The number to call is 800-780-9742. We talked a little bit about the Grand Theater. I've been on your ghost tours. I went on, I think, three times. I learned something new every time I went, and it's part ghost story, but part history, too. And it seems like you really look at the history of a place when you're determining your investigation and you're talking about what might be going on there. One example is the Elks Club. Can you talk a little bit about what happened at the Elks Club?
Sure.
Either one of you. Both of you. Yeah.
Sure. Go ahead, Jeff.
I can go. yeah, we investigated there just actually a little while ago. It wasn't too long ago. And have had some experiences there. That's had things chasing me up the stairs. We actually caught an apparition of a shadow figure. One of our cameras caught a light in a ballroom that was flashing. It actually happened two different occasions at that place. Some of the history behind that place is back in the day, I know it was on a sanitarium for about 1 year. Then there was some fire damage. The whole building there, everything that was built there, the plumbing, everything was all built by Elks Lodge members back in the day. That place is haunted. We've caught apparitions, EVPs. It's all around a really exciting place to visit.
It's got a lot of history. I mean, it's been there a long time. Mm-hmm. And it is one of those places that you kind of just sense that there's a long history of activity there. And I don't know. What was it like for you investigating the Elks Club?
Well, some of the same things I experienced because I was there with them as well. But I'd have to say you definitely feel that you're not alone when you're in the building. Every time I'm walking through, you feel as if there's other people kind of watching you. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of the former Elks members maybe that were there for many years are maybe still checking in on things there.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly been a lot of different voice recordings we've captured there, and I think the most recent, like Jeff was saying, the light anomalies that we had in the ballroom area, mm-hmm. where the light started flashing uncontrollably, and then our battery-operated laser grid started doing the same thing shortly thereafter. So it was two different sources of power, so it was very unusual, mm-hmm. that we'd have the same effect.
Okay. We've got a caller. It is Rick from Hurley. Thanks for calling, Rick.
We'd have the same effect.
Hi.
Okay. We've got a caller. It is Rick from Hurley. Thanks for calling, Rick.
I think we're having some weird technical things going on here. It sounds like we have a ghost in the machine here. Rick, are you there?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you now. Sorry, we had something weird happen there. I apologize for that. So you had a question for our callers. What was that?
Yeah, well, last night I had an experience. I've got two labs, and they're like, you know, they're like our kids, so they sleep with us. And I was on the bed, and they started growling. And the one's older, and one's like 3 years old, and he just kind of laid there. They were looking at the wall, and they both got up and stood over me, and it was like, I don't know what they saw, but they were ready to kill something, and there was nothing there.
So you're wondering maybe if animals can sense this kind of phenomenon?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you say about that?
Certainly, yeah. It's a classic example. We get a lot of people telling us those type of things. It certainly is something that I have seen myself as well, that animals seem to sense things that we can't. And we know they do. In nature, they can sense things. They can hear things we can't hear. They can smell stuff we can't. So, yeah, that's pretty typical.
Okay, thanks for calling, Rick. I appreciate that. All right, well, that was a great call. I guess I wondered that, too. Sometimes our animals at home are, you know, they're reacting to something. We don't see anything. We don't hear anything. But you just, I guess, don't really know what it is. I know a lot of private people can come to your organization and say, hey, we have something going on at our house. We have something going on at our business. And you go and investigate that. There was one thing on your website that caught my eye. A private residence in Plover that you investigated this summer. How did that come about, and what happened there?
Well, actually, we were contacted by the client. And again, you know, when I refer to client because it's obviously some of the things we post on our site, per their request, we don't disclose their name or location.
Sure.
We definitely keep confidentiality held at a high standard.
Mm-hmm.
So they called us, or I shouldn't say called us, they emailed us about issues they were having there where they were hearing things, they were seeing things in the house, they were curious about what's going on. I don't think they were particularly scared or anything like that, but they were concerned about, you know, what was happening there. Turns out, long story short, I think part of what they were feeling was their pet that had passed away in the home not too long before that. And because some of the experiences were that of like a dog, what a dog would do, like if you have visitors over. So part of it was that. And we were able to give them some answers, you know, as to what we thought maybe was going on there. And it certainly made them more comfortable and satisfied them, you know.
Mm-hmm. I'm just looking at your website now, and there was a lingering scent of perfume.
Mm-hmm.
The family chihuahua playing with an unseen friend when nobody else was there.
Right.
The smell of fresh toast being made. I don't know. What did it frighten the owners, or were they just curious about what was happening?
They were just curious. They weren't frightened at all about it. In fact, I think a family member as well, they thought maybe was there. And when we did some recordings in the basement of the house, we did get some responses to questions that the client asked. And I would say, you know, that it was a mixture of things that they were picking up on, but certainly the pet
mm-hmm.
was, I think, still present in the house.
Okay. I want to mention that, of course, not everybody is on board with the whole ghost thing. You know, some people don't believe it. They think that it's just imagination. There's one example. It was a popular TED talk that happened with a journalist, Carrie Poppy. She was telling her story about being haunted. She felt like she was being watched all the time. She felt this pressure on her chest. She heard whooshing sounds, and she was crying every night. So she posted about this experience on a forum for ghost skeptics, and they told her it sounded like she had carbon monoxide poisoning. And so she called the gas company, and turned out they were right. She really did have carbon monoxide poisoning. So several haunted houses, I guess, have been discovered to be the site of this kind of thing, like a carbon monoxide leak. So how often do you disprove the theory that a ghost might be haunting a home or a business? Are you always looking for things to disprove those theories as well?
Yeah, we're always looking for a reasonable explanation. There's got to be a reasonable explanation for everything. Some things, high electromagnetic fields, just being around them, some people are subjected to that. They can be nauseous. They can hallucinate. They can get irritated, skin rash, loss of sleep. So we look for stuff like that. When we don't find anything that's like that, then it could very well be paranormal. But yes, we go into a place and we try to look at reasonable explanations, and is it this? Is it an old fridge? Is it bad plumbing? Is it bad electrical? We always go in with an open mind because there's got to be a reasonable explanation. And when you can't find that reasonable explanation, it quite well could be paranormal.
Okay. Can we talk about the place you think is probably the most haunted house in in Wausau. And we did get permission from the property owner to talk about this. This is actually the William DeVoe House in downtown Wausau. It's part of the Rosenberry Inn. And the Rosenberry Inn has two properties. They're across the street from each other, the larger house and then the smaller house, which is the DeVoe House. I know that you have both been in the house. Let's hear about it. What happened?
Well, actually, when we first investigated the Rosenberry, we started getting some things happening there that piqued our interest. And we spent quite a few times. We stayed there an evening or overnight, in fact. And then eventually, the owner had let us go into the DeVoe House across the street, and we didn't have any stories from that at all. And to our amazement, there was activity in that one as well. In fact, more. I think there's probably more activity in the DeVoe House than there is in the Rosenberry.
And that's interesting because I know that she contacted you because of activity in the main house, not ever hearing anything about anything happening over across the street at the DeVoe. So specifically, what are some things that happened over
well,
there?
Well, what keyed us in on the DeVoe House was we actually had went over there and, you know, tried. We figured we'd monitor it. One of our investigators walked over there, was standing by the door, heard stomping going up the stairs, really, really loud, like someone just stomped every step all the way up the stairs. He called us over. We went in there, opened the door. You know, he didn't want to go by himself because he thought maybe someone went into the apartment.
Sure, you don't know. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. And we checked it out, and there was nobody there. So that was our first key that, hey, there's something going on here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Rosenberry, we've had footsteps everywhere. Footsteps. I know, and we talk about footsteps all the time. You hear about it all the time. It's a very common occurrence in haunted locations. We've had voices. We've had clapping noises. We've had whistles, like someone whistle at you, moaning, sometimes sobbing. We've even had what felt like possibly a pet or a dog coming up to us, nudging us or touching.
And there have been reports of people seeing what they think is a fluffy white dog, and that dog is a dog that has been pictured in some historical photos from that house too. So dogs can be spirits too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. When I was there, actually, before I joined the group, I've rented that place out a couple times, and I'm going to tell you that place is something else. And we heard the story about the dog, so me and my buddy, we figured we're going to take two K2 meters, set one up by the kitchen and one down the hallway, and then we had a thermometer by one of them, and we'd whistle and call for a dog, and the K2 meter would start flashing, and the temperature would drop. And then I'd signal for my buddy to do it, and he would do it, and my K2 meter would stop flashing. And all of a sudden, his would. Like, it was running back and forth.
Really?
Yes. It was pretty crazy. I woke up in the morning, and it felt like there was a dog laying on my legs in bed.
Really?
Uh-huh. It was something else.
But it's like, not scary. This is not a scary or a mean presence or anything like that.
No, it's not scary at all. If anything, it's, like, it's cool.
Cool,
you know, because if you're not a believer or if you are, I recommend going there and getting a room because, I mean, you will have an experience. It's nothing that's going to harm you. It's just something that's going to make you think outside the box a little bit, mm-hmm. especially when you hear the footsteps. The first time I went there and rented the place, it was 15 minutes. I was on the second hallway setting up cameras, and me and my buddy are like, did you just hear that? Like, something ran right by us. And it wasn't scary. It was just like, wow, that's really neat.
You know,
I can't believe we're actually having stuff happen. You know, mm-hmm. So it's really interesting.
It's a pretty cool place,
yeah.
And I've been in there quite a bit and have been with people who had experiences there, but I have not had them myself. I guess there's a question I have for you. How come some people experience these things and other people don't? I've experienced other things in other places, but never there, and I've been there a bunch. So what is it? I mean, how come some people see it, feel it?
I think it's you're kind of everybody's kind of like a radio, whether it's tuned in or not. to the right station. I think everyone has the ability. It's just a matter of whether you're picking up on it or not. Some people go through their whole life and have very little experiences, and others seem to be a magnet, and they just attract everything. Why, I don't know, or what causes that, I'm not sure. But it is thought that some of those senses that you have are something that runs along in your family line, and you might be a little more sensitive to things than others are. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah, and if you're more open to it as well, then you might have more stuff happen, or you're more aware. You know, your mind's more open to it possibly being there. If you're totally against it and you're like, nah, and you don't believe in any of it, then maybe you're not going to see anything.
Or maybe you have a greater willingness to pass it off as something else.
Yeah, exactly.
Altogether.
Yep.
So.
And that's not a bad thought either. I mean, I think the question was put out there a little bit ago that, you know, how much of it do we debunk? Mm-hmm. Well, I would say probably 80 to 90% of the time we can find a reason that's reasonable.
Really? So more often than not, you're finding, oh, you know what, that was a drafty window, or that was a creaky roof, or it was something that you can explain.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Okay.
Now, at the Rosenberry Inn, I would change those percentages, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say maybe half the time or less we can explain it. So some places are just more active like that.
Yeah,
I don't know.
At the Rosenberry, like, for instance, when you ask a question, hey, was that you that made that noise? And on your digital recorder, you play it back, you can hear a female, like, moaning. And it's like it was intelligent. And it tried to answer my question. Mm-hmm. And when you deal with stuff like that, it's like, wow. You know, there was actually something there. That wasn't a bad alarm clock. That wasn't bad wiring. That was I asked a question and it answered me. So
interesting. All right, we need to take a break. Sean Blaschka, Jeff Searing, our guest today on Route 51, as we continue our discussion on paranormal activity in our region. Have you experienced something you can't explain, or have you ever seen a ghost? We want to hear from you. Join the conversation at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. We're back on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. Sean Blaschka and Jeff Searing are our guests today as we continue our discussion on the most haunted places in our region. Your stories are welcome, too. Join the conversation or ask a question at 800-780-9742. I'm Shereen Seward. This is Route 51 on Wisconsin Public Radio. So back again to the ghost tours. Like I said, I have been on the ghost tours quite a few times, and some really interesting places in downtown Wausau. It seems like it's teeming with activity, isn't it? I mean, we've got the Marathon County Historical Society, the Yawkey Historical House, Shepherd and Schaller has a presence there. And the Wausau Club, used to be the Wausau Club. Now, of course, it's the Museum of Contemporary Art. But what's the story at the Wausau Club for those who might not be familiar?
Right. Well, I mean, the original old story that's been out there going back as far as the 60s, where it was in print in a book that the Wausau Club put out, actually, is The Ghost of Martha. Now, Martha, we've never been able to confirm for certain that there was a Martha. But evidently, Martha was having a relationship with someone of higher status in the club, and she was a worker at the Wausau Club, and she became pregnant, and he did not want to have anything to do with this, so then she ended up becoming very distraught about it, and she hung herself in her room within the club. So since that time, people have seen her apparition throughout the building. So that's kind of the story from there. Mm-hmm. Others over the years have talked about the swinging of the chandelier in the ballroom.
I've heard about that, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, you're not going to see that anymore because it ain't hanging anymore. But others have heard noises or felt presence in the building. Other people have seen apparitions of, again, a female coming down the staircase, things of that nature.
Okay.
I know, like, the people have seen things currently in the building, too, so of a woman more recently.
Really? Okay,
very
so it's
recently.
Still going on. It's still,
yep.
It's, this is still something that's happening, even after it's been renovated and gone through a lot of changes, that's still there.
Correct.
Yep. Footsteps being heard. I even think on one occasion, wasn't there some pieces of art on the wall that were getting thrown off onto the ground? I think there was.
I believe I heard something about
yeah.
the.
Yeah. So it's still pretty active.
Okay.
Yep.
We do have a caller. It is Tanya from Stevens Point. Hello, Tanya.
Hi. How are you today?
Great. How are you?
Great.
I understand you have something going on. You have a poltergeist.
Yeah, well, we call it a poltergeist. My mom always said that was the mischievous ghost. And so when we were little, my mom's one of her necklaces, pearl necklace, disappeared. It was on the back of her toilet, and it just disappeared. We never seen it for 20 years. And a lot of things, just things would just kind of disappear and then reappear and disappear and reappear. But that particular necklace never showed up until after us kids were all out of the house and we had remodeled that bathroom. And one day my mom walked in and that necklace was there on the back of the toilet.
No way!
Yeah. Whoa. Many years later. And so over the years, you know, I've moved out and I have a daughter and she's on her own too. And we feel that poltergeist sometimes they'll be at my mom's house and, you know, we'll go visit my mom and then we'll come home or something and all of a sudden it'll be at my house or my daughter's house. And we sense it when it's there, and we sense it when it's not there. So my mom will go, geez, I haven't seen the poltergeist. And I'll be like, because it's at my house right now. And so my favorite thing to do is when it takes things. It just takes things and moves it. And so what I'll do is I'll look and I'll look. I can't find my keys. I can't find them. And I'll say, oh, ha, 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 you're just so funny. And all of a sudden, I'll turn around and they'll be right there on the counter or wherever. It's the weirdest thing.
Whoa.
And it's been happening for years, and we all feel it. And my daughter kind of thinks it's a boy, a little boy, but I've never really, you know, determined on what it would be, actually. But
it doesn't sound like it frightens you at all. It just something
no,
that you accept.
All.
So
yeah, kind of miss it when it's not around, and then when it is, it's like, oh my gosh, you just quit feeling my stuff.
Oh, wow. So, yeah. Hey, so, guys, have you ever heard of that, where a ghost kind of follows family members, perhaps, and goes from place to place? Have you heard of that
yeah.
before?
Oh, sure. Yeah, that's possible.
Okay.
I mean, it's in my eyes, what you're explaining to me, it sounds more like you have just a classic haunt going on. We've certainly had lots of people say in the past that they've things have gone missing. I've had things in my own house go missing, and they're still missing to this date. Where they go or where they're at for so long and then just show up, I don't know. As long as they're not taking my money and stuff, and hopefully they aren't going to do that, because that would kind of bother me. But, yeah, that's a classic example as well. We hear that a lot from people.
Awesome. Thank you so much for calling, Tanya. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
You too. Yes, if you have a story to tell, please give us a call. 800-780-9742 is the number to call as we talk about hauntings and haunted places in our region. I live near the Wausau Municipal Airport. I've been friends with the owners for a long time. I know that they have a ghost there, and they talk to him. They tell him to knock it off if he's being too loud or, you know, just, hey, pipe down. And the thinking there is that it's the former airport manager, right?
I believe, if I'm correct on my facts, Archie Toll.
Yes,
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, people have heard. I think this thing I heard from there originally was in the hangar, that you could hear someone walking, or like the sound of wingtips. Mm-hmm. It was what they described, walking on the floor in there. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, we've never been able to investigate there.
Really?
But we certainly would if given the opportunity.
Ah, okay. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Shout out to the Wausau Downtown Airport to offer an invite. So what are some of the other places in the area that you've investigated that you think are really haunted or interesting?
Well, there's a lot. I guess if you were talking about downtown, there is plenty of places downtown. There are places we go other than central Wisconsin, though, too. We go outside the county.
Sure.
We've gone as far north as you can go and as far south. A lot of them are clients that are homeowners. One in particular that comes to mind, actually two, in Fond du Lac. There's a hotel there named the Retlaw. We spent some time there one evening, and very, very interesting place.
Mm-hmm.
Another was that we actually try to regularly visit is the Grand Opera House in Oshkosh.
Okay.
Where supposedly it's haunted by one of the former sons of the stage manager. He actually worked there his whole life. We were actually just there within the last few months.
Really?
So that is a lot of history there and a very interesting place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy. We had a lot of our equipment was malfunctioning is what I'm trying to say. A lot of our batteries were draining right off the bat. We're trying to get everything ready, and brand new batteries that we have charged and brand new batteries right out of the box. I mean, our equipment was malfunctioning, so something there didn't want us recording and setting up our equipment. It was very beautiful place, and we had some really kind of weird things happen there. So,
like what?
Well, at one point we were on the stage, and we had these what are those called? Tri-field meters
mm-hmm.
set up, and we've never seen this happen before. But we had them set up, and when we started talking, the needle on the tri-field meter would start moving like to our voice, which was really odd. We've never had anything like that happen before. Our phones were being messed with. My phone got turned on airplane mode, and I didn't even touch my phone. I was asking people, hey, were you messing with my phone? And that didn't happen to me. It also happened to somebody else. Their phone got turned on a different mode. So whatever was there was monkeying around and kind of being mischievous. So,
and on prior visits, we've had some activity where things got thrown. There was some items on the stage that got tossed, and we couldn't explain how they got tossed and rolled across the floor.
Really?
We've seen a shadow image of what looked like a person walking along the back area before you walk into the theater. We have also gotten some EVPs from there. You know, some of them make sense, some don't. Mm-hmm. I mean, sometimes you get a word or a phrase, and it means really nothing to you, but nonetheless, you're asking questions and you're getting something, a response there that you can't explain.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it's been kind of a neat place to visit.
Okay. Have you ever gone to a place where you felt frightened? I mean, were there times that you felt like, oh, boy, I don't know, I think I'm making somebody mad here?
Well, there was actually a place, and due to confidentiality, we can't tell, but it was on the north end of Wausau. And it was my first time being there, and I actually got scared. I had a closet door kind of slam right in front of me, and I felt like there was something just right on me the whole time I was there. And even on my camera that I set up in the hallway, after that closet had slammed, I had set up a camera up in that hallway, and you could hear me telling one of the teammates saying, man, I got goosebumps on my face as we were going down the stairs. And after we went downstairs, you could hear in the camera something go, and then I caught a little light anomaly that came out of the one closet that was on there. A little green light came out. And the whole time I was in that place, I was scared. I felt scared in that place. And normally, I don't get scared. I think it's fun. I want it to happen. But that closet door kind of slammed on me right when I got there. And I don't know if it was someone opening a door and a draft did it, but it was right there. And, yeah, I felt uneasy in that place the whole time I was there. That's pretty much probably the only building that I've been in so far that I've actually felt really scared.
What about you, Sean? You ever felt scared?
Yeah, and this was a family home outside of Wausau quite a few years ago, and we had just got done doing an EVP session upstairs, and we came down the staircase. I was the last one coming down the staircase, and I heard a woman kind of like cackle very loud behind me from the room we had just been in, and it just... It was creepy. I mean, I was uncomfortable for sure.
Mm-hmm.
Did I go running and screaming outside and get in my car and leave? No, but it was creepy.
Yeah.
But that, I guess that, you know, that's something I kind of like to point out though too. if you've got something like that happening in your house or your business, that's primarily what we're there for. Mm-hmm. We want to try to help people to explain maybe what's going on. Certainly, it interests us to look at this stuff. But at the same time, our primary goal is to try to provide some explanation to you or maybe help you with some answers so that you can feel more comfortable in your home and you don't have to be scared.
And it does sound like most of the time you're able to say, hey, we pinpointed the cause of what you're hearing or what you're feeling or what you're seeing here, and it's not anything to worry about. It's not a ghost. It's not something to be scared of. And perhaps people feel comforted by that then, that they don't have to worry that there's something going on in their house. I know you don't charge for investigations, and you do keep them confidential, right?
So at their request, you bet.
So if somebody wants to have an investigation done, do they just reach out to you on their website? How do they get in touch?
Correct. They would just go to WPRS.net, or you can search it out, WASA ghosts, and it'll come up. You certainly can make a request, and then we'll contact you and, you know, discuss what's going on and go from there. But yes, we don't charge for what we do. If you come across a group or anything like that, there's a lot of them out there. Some are more credible than others. If they're going to charge you to do something, my advice to you would be to steer away from that.
Okay.
Because their interests aren't in you, probably.
You're part of TAPS. What is TAPS exactly? The
Transatlantic Paranormal Society. They're out of the East Coast. If you watch on TV, it used to be Ghost Hunters. Now they've got two shows they split into. But yes, we are TAPS family members for Wisconsin.
Okay.
Yeah, so when they get a call for a haunting or a supposed haunting in Wisconsin, they forward it to us, and then we take care of it from there.
And you go throughout the whole state, really?
Yep. Okay. Cover the whole state of Wisconsin, yes.
Okay. What are some other recent investigations that you've done that stand out to you?
Well, like I said, we already talked about the Opera House. Caught me off guard on that one. Sorry.
That's okay.
Because there's been so many so many over time.
Can we talk about St. Paul's United Church of Christ?
Sure.
That's on your website, and you have investigated this on a number of occasions. Yes?
Yes. Okay. Yes, several times now.
What prompted the investigation?
We were contacted from the church contacted us asking if we would have interest in checking into it. They had stories over the years. In fact, they had recent experiences, so that's why that motivated them a little more to contact us, and they offered to let us come and check it out, which was pretty neat because we've never had a church before that we've investigated.
Okay. Well, we only have a little bit of time left, but tell us briefly, what did you find out when you went there?
We had vibration sensors that were going off down on the main floor. There was an EVP caught. We asked a question, do you have a question for the current pastor? And we caught a response on our EVP that said yes.
Really?
Yep. So that's pretty neat. And like I said, the vibration sensors that were going off in the main floor area were going off. So that could have been something running around there. And when you catch an EVP, you get an answer that says yes. That's more leaning towards an intelligent haunting because it's actually answering and communicating with you. So
what's the difference? What's an intelligent haunting?
Intelligent haunting is something that can interact with you. You say, can you knock on the wall, yes or no, and it knocks on the wall. Residual haunting is something that just plays itself over and over like a tape recorder. It doesn't even know it's there. It's not trying to scare you. It's just something that's there. It doesn't communicate with you. It's just there like a
just
tape recorder.
Just energy.
Yeah, just energy. Yep. Intelligent, like you say, do you have a question for the current pastor, and it says yes on the thing, that's intelligent. Or if you say, can you knock on the wall, two for no, one for yes, and it does that. That's intelligent. It's trying to communicate with you. So
okay, and I suppose it's a matter of being open to that and asking the right questions.
Yep.
So just very briefly before we wrap up, your website again is WPRS.net.
Yep,
and that's probably the best way to get a hold of you. So, well, unfortunately, that's all we have time for today on Route 51. I'm Shereen Seward. I would like to thank our guests from the WASA Paranormal Research Society, Sean Blashka and Jeff Searing. Our executive producer is Rick Ryer. Our on-air producer today is Joy Rotch-Kramer. Special music from Ray Parker Jr., Stevie Wonder, Oingo Boingo, and Boris Pickett and the Crypt Kickers. Thanks to John Altenberg for the Route 51 theme. You can hear the archive of today's program at WPR.org/Route 51. Next week, we'll host a discussion on a unique publishing program at the University of Wisconsin-Stevens Point then. Until then, we're heading out of town. Straight.